Thanks for listening to the Susie Larson Life podcast, available thanks to support from listeners like you. It's only just a matter of welcome to Susie Larson Live. Always so honored to get to spend this time with you. And I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Well, it is our favorite time of the month, and that is when Dr. Troy Sproul joins us on the show every month for Health and Healing Conversations. And I don't want you to wait till the last half of the show to text in your questions. I already see that Jill is on top of it, but how about you? If you got questions on health and healing, text them in now, 877-933-2484. Get the questions coming, and we'll get to as many as we can. The reason a lot of times that we can't get to them all is because they kind of flood in from the middle of the show to the end. And I think partly is because Troy and I have a kickoff conversation, and maybe you're just so enthralled with it and so engaged that you're not ready to send your questions. So as we're kind of setting up the show, send in your questions. You can text them to 877-933-2484. So you know how these are the two kickoff conversations. You know how you throw your back out sometimes, or maybe you have a loved one who just chronically, repeatedly throws out their back or your knee. Maybe you tweak your knee. Why does that happen? And is there anything we can do to prevent those incidents? And also, what are your favorite kind of healthy hacks, your healthy recipes that are your go-to easy recipes? I want you to tell us what those are. I have one that I've been loving these days. I'm eating every single day for lunch. So I'll share what it is, and I'll have Dr. Troy say, this is good, or this is why this is not good, but this is what these foods do for you. So share your recipes. I want to know. If you have something that you do that is just one of your go-to meals that you can't get enough of, I have a friend who eats organic meatballs and Brussels sprouts for lunch every day. She's like, I love the protein, I love the vegetables, and that is her thing. How about you? You can text 877-933-2484. Just a reminder about our program that Dr. Troy is not here to diagnose you over the air. It's not fair to you or to him. So he's answering general health and healing questions, but always consult with your doctor before you make any changes to your health plan. A quick announcement now before we hear from Dr. Troy. One Child, we are partnering with this amazing ministry, and our hope and prayer is to sponsor, I think, close to 1,700 children this month. And that initiative especially starts next week. We'll be on the air Thursday and Friday, hoping and praying to get many children sponsored. And I saw a little boy that just caught my eye. His name is John Gomez Rivera, 9-year-old from Nicaragua, and says he's brave and he's cheerful and he hopes to be sponsored one day. You can hop on our website, myfaithradio.com, to really take a look and prayerfully consider who you might sponsor. Now let me tell you about my guest. We'll get him on the show. Dr. Troy Sproul is founder and CEO of Synapse Center for Health and Healing, located in Eagan, Minnesota. He started Synapse over 26 years ago with a vision to bring an integrative approach to healthcare through functional medicine, making Synapse an internationally known center for true health. Dr. Troy, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. Love being here.
Yeah, looking forward to it. So let's start making it personal. What has the Lord been talking to you about these days?
I am going to read from 1 Corinthians 6:19. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. And for me, I've just been, during the Christmas season, I mean, we tend to, a lot of people just eat excessively. And a lot of the challenges that people have with their health actually stem from Thanksgiving through Christmas here in the United States. Mm. And I really want people to think about, during Christmas, we celebrate Jesus, and that is the gift of all gifts right there. But God has given us a gift, and it's our body, and it houses the Holy Spirit, and it's our temple. And so a lot of times, really, really good people, people who have servant hearts and who really are supporting other people, do a great job of supporting other people, but not themselves. And so they kind of leave themselves for last. And the reality is, it's important to take care of your body, because you are taking care of the gift that God gave you. And you're not alone. It's just not you. For you to have clear conversations with God, it's important to have a good, healthy body. That's what I've seen, and that's what I believe. And that's also why I think fasting really connects us to God, because fasting starts to clean out a lot of the processes. It induces a process called autophagy that really cleans up all the debris. All of the flaky, broken down parts of our cells happens when you fast. And so through prayer and fasting, we see miraculous things that occur in scripture, and we see miraculous things that occur in life now, never mind 2,000 years ago. So
good.
It's so important just to recognize, for people who have a servant heart, to just know that if someone gave you just the best gift at Christmas time, you wouldn't trash it. You wouldn't put garbage on it or in it or just treat it horribly. So we have to kind of put that same level of, and even more so, a higher level of respect and just love and adoration for our own body and take care of it, because it is the gift that God gave us and it is our temple.
Yeah, so good. You've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. And that price was the blood of Jesus. You think about all he took, not only to secure our eternity, but to allow us to house his Holy Spirit. And when you think of it that way, I think for many years, Doc, that people were kind of shooing aside the health, physical health, because the world made such an idol out of health and fitness that we're like, we're not going to have that conversation. But thank the Lord that conversation has re-entered the Christian conversation, because it needs to. Because we want to show up and feel our best and be our best, and to neglect it, I mean, it costs you in a different way. It costs you in doctor, you know, medical bills, in time lost, and just a low quality of life. It's one way or another, you're going to pay for it. So you might as well invest in the front end and get healthy.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought that up, because it's not to get on the front of some type of magazine, GQ. Do they still have magazines? I don't know. Okay. It's not to get on the front of a magazine. It's to honor God. Because when you are clean and doing well on the inside and things are operating, then you're working at your max potential, and you can actually start to do the things that God has tasked for you to do, or to have, whether it be a different assignment or just the best version of you comes out. And that's what we're talking about. So you may not look like that person on the magazine, but you're healthy on the inside. And that's really what counts. Your cellular health, and you're protecting the DNA that God gave you, and you're just operating more efficiently. Everything just works better, because there's not as much confusion within the body. Communication is ideal. Yep.
I don't know who said it first, but nothing tastes as good as feeling good feels. And that's just true, you know? And there's a way to even have things that taste good and still feel good.
Yes.
So with that, let's go to some fun recipes, and I'll grab some off the text line here too. And you can shoot this down if you want. So it's just something that I've been loving. But I don't do as well with excess carbs or even grains. I do have some grains, like I'll have a piece of gluten-free toast once in a while, but I just seem to feel better without the grains. And so what I've been eating for lunch is a broccoli cauliflower rice. So it's a vegetable rice, basically, really ground up broccoli and cauliflower with a little sesame oil, a little olive oil. Then I toss in a few slivered almonds and then some chicken. And I found this really kind of pure pad Thai peanut kind of sauce. I put a little squirt of that just to give it flavor. And it is the most delicious thing in the world. But I remember you saying to me during an appointment that broccoli and cauliflower actually pull excess hormones and, you know, toxins from your body. So what do you think of that for a meal? It's just been easy to do, and I've loved it. What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. And I encourage people to play around with things like that. So generally speaking, when it comes to the food, we want the food to be a clean version of food, ideally or organic. Because I just had this conversation with one of my patients yesterday, who is an organic farmer, and he's weary from just doing things the right way over all the years. And I said to him that he's doing a great job, and he is a farmer who's making food, and they should just call it food, not organic food. It should be food, and all the other food that man has changed and altered should be called chemical laden food. Because we've changed it. The food that came from God, if God made it, it's good. If man changed it, just beware. And so I love the fact that you took these good foods and that you know worked for you, and then you made your recipe with that. And I have anything with broccoli, I absolutely love. One of the things that broccoli has that helps with the detox that you were talking about as far as the hormones and just the environment is sulfur. And so there are a lot of foods with sulfur, but broccoli in particular has just a high form of a good form of sulfur within it. And I'm just going to read a short list of things that sulfur impacts in a big way. Number one, insulin. It helps your insulin become more sensitive and you have more energy. Number two, arthritis. So it can help with joint inflammation and reduce arthritis just by making sure you have enough sulfur. Also, keratin, which is important for hair and nails. So healthy, strong hair and nails comes from sulfur. It's one of the key components. Collagen, so gives the skin its strength and its structure. So sulfur is important in the making of collagen. And then it also is important for amino acids, which helps to build up the muscles. And then antioxidants, which prevents all of our cells from damage. So sulfur is one of my, any food with sulfur, like garlic or onions, radishes, broccoli, those things are great for not only the detox, but all those other things we just talked about.
So someone asked, are seed oils okay? And I thought vegetable oils are the ones we wanted to avoid. But what do you think about seed oils? Because I did use a little sesame seed oil.
Seed oils can be, they're not as, I don't like them like olive oils. And nothing really, really beats olive oil. I'm just going to say as far as those oils, I tend to not do as much seed oils as I do some of the other oils. But I tend to avoid them a little bit more.
Okay. So a little bit, I mean, it really changes the flavor, but you'd prefer to just stick with the olive oil.
I do. I like it. And there are versions like cold press, extra virgin olive oil. And there is one of my professors that I listen to, he's such a nut for olive oil. He orders his olive oil from Greece and Italy, and and he gets it from a vineyard that's 2,000 years old, which means Jesus may have walked by there. But that the oil, it's expensive. For a 6-ounce bottle, I think it's $120. So that's why
we're in a different world.
Yes,
yeah.
Right. but it has some amazing properties to it within the oil, and it's quite remarkable the difference with a good olive oil, especially with a healthy meal like you were just saying.
Yeah. We have to break here, but a number of people are asking if I pre-make it or how do I do this. So oftentimes I buy frozen organic rice, broccoli rice and cauliflower rice, but there's times I'll get fresh and it's not a food processor because it makes that like baby food if you use a food processor, but a food chopper where I just, it's like a little hand thing where I chop it and make it, and that's a little more roughage. And then I like to cook it till it's just almost crispy with this almonds, and I love it. And then put the chicken in there. It is so delicious. So love that so much. And Dr. Troy, often when we have a group that meets once a month, every couple months, you and Christine bring a salad. And on the other side, you're going to talk about the salad. Guess what he brings for dressing? Maple syrup. And he's got a reason for that. So we're going to talk about a few more recipes, then we're going to get into why did he throw your back out? And plus, I see a lot of other questions coming in. Fun conversation with Dr. Troy. We'll be back in a minute.
Hey, this is Carmen LaBurge, host of Mornings with Carmen on the Faith Radio Network. I'm seeking to reconnect the eternal with the everyday. I do that in part through conversations about today's relevant issues, hopefully helping to equip you to bring Christ back into every conversation in your life. You can subscribe to my daily podcast at myfaithradio.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
I believe in miracle power in a wonder-working God. I'm filled with the Holy Spirit working wonders in my heart.
Hope you're having a really fantastic day. Thanks for tuning into Susie Larson Live. We're having a fun conversation with Dr. Troy Spurl, who is the CEO and founder of Synapse Center for Health and Healing, located in Eagan, Minnesota. He joins us every month to talk about health and the healing process. And we're having a fun conversation about recipes right now. We're also going to talk about why do you throw your back out? Is there anything you can do to prevent that, as well as also like tweaking your knee or throwing your shoulder out? You know, what can we do to kind of shore up our structure? But I'm seeing a lot of questions come in, so we're going to do our best to get to them. But I talked about this broccoli cauliflower rice because I just don't do as well with grains. I feel better without them. And that's got slivered almonds, a little bit of sesame seed oil, some chicken, and a little like a pad Thai peanut sauce that's just delicious. This dear person said, hey, Dr. Troy and Dr. Susie. So automatically I'm going to take that text, you know. But she says, my favorite health hack is not food related, but it's rubbing castor oil on my thyroid each night to stave off thyroid disease. which I'm very susceptible to getting because of autoimmune. And then she says, choose an olive oil with high polyphenol count for optimal health benefits. Any thoughts on any of that?
Love it. Yeah, absolutely. Because reduces inflammation. Oh, yeah. Castor oil packs are very, very effective. And the polyphenol count of that olive oil that I was talking about on that old orchard is off the charts. That's why it's so beneficial. So, yep.
Yeah.
She's bang on.
Maybe we do a show another day on olive oil, that because you may be surprised if so often it's that olive oil is rancid that you're buying in. So quality olive oil like omegas are super important. So, but we'll get to that another day. This one is from Brenda. I love it. Hello, Dr. Troy and Dr. Susie. Wink, wink. I love these. So fun. Wondering if you can elaborate on collagen. Are there certain collagens to stay away from? Is there any difference between liquid collagen, powdered collagen? And, you know, that I will say, I've tried so many, Doc, over the years that seem to do, like I'd stay on them for a year and I would notice nothing. So I'm super curious how you're going to answer this.
There is quite a difference between collagens, and the challenge is you do have to stay on them for 6 months to get a sense if it's working. And that's the problem. You might do something for 6 months and say, not really noticing anything. So I can't say for sure that there's one that's just leaps and bounds ahead of everything else. And I really go to what my patients have expressed back to me, and my wife in particular. And she's now doing a liquid one that was just a game changer for her. But she started with, she's on, this would probably be her fifth or sixth one. And this is what I see with a lot of my patients that have just done different things over the years, where you get little gains. So some collagens actually might help with nails more. The one she's using right now helps with her hair is just thick. It's just super, super thick. And so, it's different for everyone, and I've had some patients where they tolerate a collagen and do well with it, and other patients don't. So it's very specific to the end. Every single person is different. So there is a difference between powder and liquid, and I've seen pros and cons to both.
Okay, very good. What are the health benefits of cauliflower, this listener asks?
Well, cauliflower is in the same category as the broccoli, so with the sulfur. So everything I read off with the sulfur is appropriate for cauliflower to a certain degree. It doesn't have quite the same amount of antioxidants as anything that comes with a little bit more color is got a little bit more benefit to it. I'm not, if I had my nutritionist from the clinic with me, I'd have a much, much better, more in-depth answer. So, but that's what I've got right now.
Okay. All right. Let's talk about the salad that you often bring to group. It's got greens in it. It's got really dark berries and different things. And then you set out organic maple syrup. Talk about that.
Well, the first thing I'll say is a lot of people will shop because they have a recipe and they'll go get the ingredients from the recipe. When I go shopping, I look for what is organic that's on sale. And that's what I buy. And then I make whatever's in my fridge at the time. So I try and have just good, healthy choices when I go to the fridge when I'm hungry. And so this salad came from that. So I one day was just looking at what we had, and we had lettuce, and we had it was a spring mix, and then lots of berries, organic blueberries, blackberries, and raspberries, which I got from Target, and then had some almond slices and some sunflower seeds and some organic banana chips, just hard banana chips.
Oh, that's right.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And I like a little crunch in the salad. And so I had salad dressing, but I didn't want, there was like 2 grams of sugar in the salad dressing and I didn't want that. And so I'm like, I wanted something different. And I looked through my cupboard and there was the organic fresh maple syrup, which has enzymes in it. And so the enzymes break down. I don't do so well with certain nuts. And so I have to limit my nuts. And so I was putting the nuts on there. The enzymes that were in the maple syrup helped to break that down. So it improved the digestive. Everything was just digested a lot easier. And it was just a drizzle of maple syrup. I'm not talking about pouring it on like salad dressing.
Like pancakes.
Like pancakes, exactly. So just a drizzle of the maple syrup, and amazingly, it adds this sweetness to it that doesn't, that makes you crave the lettuce to kind of counter it. And then you've got the crunch of the banana chips and the nuts. And it's just, it's one of my favorite salads.
Delicious. Yep. It's delicious. Oh, yes. Yeah, good. All right. This listener says, what does Dr. Troy think of reverse osmosis filtered water for drinking? Thought it was a good thing to filter out all the junk in tap water, but then a plumber recently told me it changes the pH of the water to be more acidic. Great question. What do you say?
Yeah, they're both right. So it's a the lesser of two evils type scenario. And so we do filter our water out, and then it's important to get your minerals. So we take and get minerals in a different way. So magnesium, calcium, and for me, that's just a easier, cleaner fix versus the toxins that come with the water. For me, it's just I'd rather stick with that and take some minerals, and you can get liquid minerals and put them in, or just even in a multi. And from my diet, the more vegetables you consume, the more minerals you're getting there as well.
So you prefer the reverse osmosis?
I do, yes.
And how does that attach to your
We actually have plumbing? A Berkey in our house, so it pulls out the it's got the filters, and we don't attach it to anything. We actually just pour the water in, and then it filters it in a standalone
nice
tube there, and then we just fill it up. Yep.
Mm-hmm. All right. This dear one says, I eat plain Greek yogurt with almond slivers, chia seeds, flax seeds, hemp seeds for breakfast every day. What do you think?
Love it. Yep. That's a good one. For the people that can tolerate dairy, that is an excellent source.
Probiotics.
And it's good. And you can even add a little bit of some oatmeal to that, or granola have it for those people that can do that, to actually add a little bit of density. And for me, if I'm going to do carbs, I like to have them earlier in the day than later, so I can burn them off for quick energy.
Why do chia seeds and flax seeds bug some people? For me, and Kev too, both of us, they're tough on our guts for some reason.
Yeah, so they're for women in particular, they're very, very healthy because of their impact on the hormones. And so if you are low hormone or in certain areas, then it could actually irritate things. But some people can't break them down properly. And so it can be an irritant for a lot of people. So if you're prone to inflammatory GI stuff, just seeds in general can be very, very tough because they don't get broken down properly.
Hmm. Would it help to have maple syrup with those?
Actually, it could. Seriously. Yeah, enzymes are just enzymes. Yeah. And it actually could. You could do that experiment, and if it doesn't work, I'll get a text, right?
Exactly. I'll definitely be letting you know. But it bums me out because I hear so much benefit from flax and chia seeds. And, you know, I love Nautical Bowls, and one of their recipes has chia seeds, but they get to me every time.
Yeah.
And it's like, and they're like gooky, you know, like it doesn't seem like they should be hard. They're not hard. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But
yep.
Still, they bug people.
Yes, absolutely.
A few people. Small population, small percent.
Yes.
Okay, when we come back, this dear listener says, any advice for a six-year-old boy that's losing his hair, eyebrows, and patches on the scalp? Do you have thoughts about that one?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, we'll cover that one and a few others. A few people have questions with sleep. We are going to get to the question about why does a person throw their back out? Is there anything we can do? We're talking about kind of structural health, and that's super interesting. There's a lot we could do with that. All right, we'll be back in a minute. Hope you're having a really great day. We're having a fun time talking to Dr. Troy Sperl, who joins me on the show once a month to talk health and the healing process. And every month we kick off with a certain topic, and we kind of bounce our conversation off of that. And then we kind of weave in your questions. So we were talking today about some fun kind of health hacks, some fun go-to recipes that are just healthy, easy to do, and that are good for you. So if you've got some of those, share those with us. You can text them to 877-933-2484. A lot of people are asking looking for my recipe, and I don't do recipes because I'm not a good cook. So I'll just tell you, I take a bunch of rice that are not rice, but broccoli rice and cauliflower rice, and dump it in with some oil. Yeah, you don't want a recipe because I couldn't tell the tip. So anyway, it's delicious though. All right, Troy, this is one for a listener. I would love to hear his natural suggestions for better sleep. I've been struggling in that area. I wonder if there are some tried and true things that can help get our body ready for rest at night. And friend, we've done a ton of shows just on sleep, and you might want to search for those because they're really good. But you can say what you want here, Doc, and then we'll move on to the next question.
Yeah, I think we spent a whole hour just on this this one question, really. And I'm going to do this in about 30 seconds, so just keep that in mind. The biggest thing when it comes to sleep is to set up, number one, a good sleep environment. What that means is try and have your mind be restful going into sleep. You shouldn't be watching your phone or TV. Just see what bad habits might exist there. Make sure your sleep environment is dark and the bed is comfortable. And just many people don't realize that after 10, 15, 20 years on the same mattress, there can be problems. Some people end up with dust mites, and you're actually reacting to your mattress at that point. So the sleep environment is very, very important, number one. Number two, what you eat matters. The sleep itself is, deep sleep is actually impacted by a brain chemical called serotonin, which gets converted to melatonin. There are three things in particular that will offset that conversion: stress, infection, and inflammation. Food can cause inflammation. Stress, of course, can cause problems. And there's 102 different sleep disorders that actually arise, that have to be identified. That's why I can take an hour or a day show to do that. And then inflammation, though, as we age in particular, we become more and more inflamed from the diet and the food we eat, but also because our hormones and just experience of life. So it really is an all-encompassing. There's a lot that goes on with it. But anything that improves your melatonin generally will help with your sleep. So the short version is reduce your stress, manage your stress, improve any inflammation you have in the body, and take care of any underlying hidden infections, especially if they're in the nasal cavity or dental work or anything like that. And a lot of times people will have neck tension, which actually decreases their ability to breathe in oxygen at nighttime, causing sleep disorders. So relax neck tension, good pillow, improved physical components of the neck will help a lot with the sleep.
And last month, we talked about circadian rhythms. So you might want to go back and catch that one, because we talked about getting your eyes exposed to morning light and kind of resetting the circadian. And I'll just throw one other thing in there. I, for 20-something years, have had one cup of coffee every morning, and I wouldn't drink more than that. I don't drink soda. But I loved my morning cup of coffee. But because I was struggling so much, Dr. Troy's like, you got to consider this, you know. So I finally gave it up. And again, and this isn't like an endorsement for a product, but I will tell you, this product called Creo Brew, C-R-I-O, brew. It's a cacao brew. It's like coffee, but it's the cacao bean. No caffeine in it. But I am sleeping so much better. I get energy from it, but it's basically healing properties, just antioxidant properties. It's just kind of a feel-good thing with no caffeine in it. And that's just one thing. But as you talked about, Doc, there's so many aspects to it, but it's worth fighting for. I mean, I felt like there were so many layers for me to figure out to get a kind of a certain recipe down that would help me sleep. And I believe that is the case for everybody. There's an answer to your issue, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. So good. All right. Any advice for the 6-year-old boy who's losing his hair, eyebrows, and patches on scalp?
So if all the hormones or all the labs kind of check out, like thyroid is fine, then there's a couple things that we do see that. The number one cause of that is stress, as far as just a stress response. Now, it can be a physical, mental, or chemical stressor, so you just want to evaluate that. A strange thing that's the most common from a chemical point of view that's not thyroid-related is parasites. So you can pick up a parasite by playing in the dirt or in the beach or something like that, and we do see that with the hair loss as well. And then what we were just talking about, the sulfur, usually sulfur becomes compromised. And so if they're low in sulfur, or there's a genetic variant where they actually don't have sulfur and make sulfur, I see this. I treat a lot of the Amish community. They are very natural in their processes. So we have them driving from all over the country, actually. And so they or they have a driver, so they don't drive. So just so we're clear on that. But there's within their community, it's a known challenge where they don't they have this exact issue: patches of hair and eyebrows, and so we had to reestablish their MT barrier. It's a metallothionein barrier in their GI tract that is sulfur and zinc dependent. Now, a lot of things can affect that. Medications can knock that out, and certain shots and things like that. Anything with heavy metals in them, the food, chemicals, pesticides, things like that can disrupt that barrier system and cause problems and displace the sulfur. So now you don't have enough sulfur for the hair, for the collagen synthesis. So it becomes, and the keratin. So it becomes very, very important to identify, are we dealing with a parasite, stress reaction, thyroid issue, or sulfur need?
Interesting. Somebody regarding the sleep question said, could old feather pillows be a culprit? Are they full of dust mites? Should we throw them?
For some people, yes. Some people, we've had to have them get rid of it. They've developed an allergy to it, and dust mites can become a problem. For others, not an issue. Or there are ways, I guess, of cleaning and purifying them. So.
Yep. Okay. All right. So let's talk about, you can keep the questions coming, and I'm going to keep scrolling because so many came in with different recipes and thoughts, so I wasn't able to keep up with all of them. But I'll go back and look during the break here. But when some people throw their back out, and maybe repeatedly over and over again, I'm just thinking of my youngest son, who's an adult now, but when he was little, he couldn't not walk on his tiptoes. And when the doctor noticed that, he had him sit on the exam table, he flexed his feet and his upper body went back. He was so tight in his gastrocs and hamstrings that he literally couldn't sit straight up and flex his foot. So they put the serial casting on each leg, trying to stretch him or whatever. But they said, if you don't stretch him constantly, he's going to have back problems because it's so tight, you know, back there. And when he did take that hit in football that injured his back so bad, it was like, even though we stretched him a lot, his muscles didn't move, as I understand. So the disc blew in the vertebrae did. And I think that when you have all this tightness in your body or weakness, it seems like those are two of the things that make you really susceptible. But that's just a layman's assessment. So I'd love to know your thoughts on why and when are we most susceptible to throwing out our backs or our knees or whatever.
That was actually pretty good.
Hey, thank you. Thank you very much.
I got nothing to add, right?
I dream about that someday.
No, it's all about balance. And so you're exactly right. The biggest problems are when the muscles are too tight or too flaccid or too relaxed, not strong enough. And so if you're having like the scenario you just said, toe walking is kind of a something we see with childhood onset dystonia. And dystonia is like a part of our brain where it sets a tone for your muscles and emotion. So the muscle tone can get set too high. The brain can do that. And there's a lot of different things that can play into that. So it's kind of like as an adult, when we have stress, our muscles get tighter. But there's a lot of other things that can influence the body and the brain for the muscles to be set at the wrong tone, basically. And so if your muscles are too tight or not strong enough, that's when people will throw their back off. So it's all about balance. Now, there's so many things that can do that. For example, for the low back, if you get dehydrated, what happens is your psoas muscle, which is the main muscle, a hip flexor between the hip and the back, it actually will start to tighten. When someone has a kidney stone, that muscle will also tighten. When with a kidney stone, it tightens so much that you have this searing pain in the flank part of the back. And so little things like this, internal inflammatory problems or imbalances, can affect your muscles through what we call a viscerosomatic reflex. It's kind of like if you have a heart attack and you feel pain down your left arm. I could treat the left arm all I want. The real problem is the heart. Well, when we have intestinal inflammation and we have just low-grade problems with our digestive system or other organs, muscles can get tighter. For example, the main low back extensor is very much affected by whether or not your appendix is irritated or not. And I've had people come in with weak muscles in their back that are also tight. So they had both. And that's the worst case scenario when they're weak and tight. And it was all their appendix. And so we massage the appendix, and it's called milking it. So you actually get the little bit of irritant out of there. It was probably a sunflower seed or something that was, or food that was undigested that got stuck. And their muscle strength came back within 2 minutes. And then their pain was gone within an hour.
Wow.
And it so sometimes was the appendix.
I'm sorry. So sometimes there's a weakness that's not actual a muscle. It's like it's been imposed upon you. I mean, it's almost like I think if your friends have had your spine out of whack a little bit, you can't carry the normal weight that you're used to carrying. So it's not like you're all of a sudden weak, but you've been weakened because something's out. I mean, that's different, right? Than
very. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And some people just need to exercise and move more. That one of the challenges is our core. Why our neck and our back goes out is a lot of times because of our core. And so our core goes weak when we sit. And so if we just sit more now than we ever have in history, we really do. And when we are doing things, lifting our hands over our head, or we're balancing on one leg, or we're walking, that strengthens our core. So all of these things help with our core. And when your core is strong, then a lot of the other muscles become stronger too. So it's a lot harder to actually put things out of place. So those are generally the two things. We have to keep moving. Motion is life. We need to use our muscles. To use your muscles, you have to break them down and then build them back up. Mm-hmm. And so you have to push it a little bit. And so I have farmers. I'm going to use farmers as an example because I have some of the strongest women that come into my clinic. They'll be 86 years old, and they're like lifting me off the ground when I test their muscles and with their legs. I'm like, I don't even ask anymore. I just say, let me guess, you farm. Wow. And they're like, yep. And still going. And they're just strong because they constantly are using those muscles, and they don't sit a lot unless it's during harvest.
Wow. I mean, I'm thinking about in a workout scenario, there's so many times where you're doing a controlled stretch or a controlled muscle engagement. So you're mimicking something in a controlled setting and adding strength, adding flexibility. And it seems like if you're able to do that on a more regular basis, when you're in a position where something drops off the shelf and you reach for it fast, you're way less likely to yank your back out of whack because in controlled settings, you've been strengthening and lengthening those muscles, right?
That's exactly right. And you just said strengthening and lengthening. We need to stretch. We need that range of motion. So it's important to just kind of to check and see what is my range of motion. For those that have listened before, they know how much I like wall angels where you're up against the wall, your back's against the wall, and you can see if you can actually get your forearms flat against the wall or not. And some people can, some people can't. Some people, when they turn their head to the right, can only turn it a couple degrees or turn it to the left. It's not very good range of motion. If you want to improve neck pain and improve how your sleep and everything, you want to make sure your neck has full range of motion. When it comes to shoulder pain, the most common cause of shoulder dysfunction is usually some upper GI inflammation. If you're dealing with one of those referrals, the liver, gallbladder, or the stomach, or neck tension. The neck is just compressed and the nerves that come out of the neck are not supporting the shoulders all that much. In rare instances, some people with lung issues can have pretty significant shoulder problems, but usually it's an upper GI and or neck tension scenario. And I am constantly, like for me, I am constantly getting my neck worked on because of eye strain. And so where I'm constantly looking at the computer or looking at the data that for my patients, and then I have to take a break because the eye strain causes an actual tension in my neck.
That is interesting. Before we go to break, let's just say a quick word about knees. Is it most often quad strength or lack thereof? I mean, I've heard over and over again, when I worked in fitness years ago, that would always be the first go-to is adding to your quad strength and flexibility. But really, that is like one of the best supports for the knee, just as a core strength is such a good support for the back. What do you think?
For me, quad strength, one of them. I can't really put it ahead of, I always go to the gastroc first, and the gastroc is usually spasm because of adrenal stress issues. And so resetting that tension is what we do first. And then in women in particular, the IT band or the TFL on the sides, getting that relaxed and then strengthening the quads.
Yeah. So if you were to try to go strengthen your quad and your adrenals are firing, so the gastroc is that belly of the calf muscle. So one of the tests that you would do in clinic is have them bend their leg and you kind of push on the back of the calf. If they flip off the table or kick you in the face, yes, their adrenals are probably firing, right?
And it's very common. That's why my face looks like it does.
Yeah. He's recovered from a lot, let me just tell you. All right. When we come back, we're going to answer this question. This dear listener says, hey, guys, my spouse and I love to drink hot organic milk before bed. It's a great relaxing way to end the night. My question is, how healthy is organic milk? And does it have a lot more vitamins, minerals, et cetera, than non-organic milk? We're paying double the price. Is it worth it? Interesting question. Another one says, how valuable is magnesium? I know Dr. Troy has some opinions about that one, too. We've got a few more questions coming in, and there's still time for a few more. You can text 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute. Faith Radio podcasts are produced by the listener-supported ministry of Faith Radio. If you're interested in becoming a team member, a donor to this ministry, you can support the podcast anytime and donate at myfaithradio.com.
Miracles, oh miracles, count your miracles. 1, 2, 3, 4, I can't even count them all.
Everywhere you turn, life is springing up. God is doing a new thing. And as Dr. Troy said at the opening of the show, your body's a temple of the Holy Spirit. You've been bought with a price. God wants you to glorify Him in your body. And part of that is taking good care of yourself so you can show up for life feeling your best. Your family can enjoy your best. And every step, every single step towards healing matters. And God's not after perfection, but just progress, you know. And if you can really believe, no matter how old you are or how young you are, that as you wait on the Lord and you trust Him, He wants to renew your youth like the eagles, and He wants you to rise up with a newfound power, strength, and vitality you didn't know was possible. I have hope for that. I'm Susie Larson. Dr. Troy is my guest today, and we're just wrapping up a really great show with a handful of more questions. This one was about hot organic milk. Hi, guys. My spouse and I love to drink hot organic milk before bed. It's a great relaxing way to end the night. Question is, how healthy is it, and does it have a lot more vitamins, minerals than non-organic milk? We're paying double the price. Is it worth it? What do you say?
So this is a very interesting, loaded question, because for some people, it is a game changer and it'll work brilliantly. For other people, it's catastrophic because they can't tolerate the dairy, even organic. And so there is there's a lot to unpack here, because organic, generally speaking, is better. When it comes to the milk, though, it depends how processed it was. And so there's a whole backstory behind milk, because when we started heating up the milk, basically to kill off the bacteria, it also killed off a lot of the enzymes. So even organic milk can be not as nutrienteded as like raw milk. And raw milk is not even legal in a lot of states. It is in some states. But there's a whole backstory. We'll get into that maybe one of those days. But during the World War, when they started to actually work on the milk and pasteurize it. So there's a difference in the pasteurization process, and that's more of what I look at when it comes to milk. So I just encourage people to pay attention to their body. Some people will drink milk and they will have mucus production in their sinuses. If you do, probably not the best thing. If warm milk helps and there's no mucus production and you sleep great, then keep doing it. And yes, I know it's more expensive, but I am always going to encourage people to go for organic over not organic, just simply because it's cleaner.
Hmm. All right. How about this one? How valuable is magnesium?
Oh, it's good. So good.
Oh.
It is number two in the world as far as deficiency. So iodine is number one worldwide. Magnesium is number two. And magnesium is used in 400 different enzyme reactions in the body. So it helps in the brain with sleep. It helps in the body with muscles. It helps in the bowels with bowel movements. It's so important. So magnesium is magnesium is my favorite mineral.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Alrighty. This dear one says, her husband has multiple myeloma, gets stabbing muscle cramps in his upper abdomen right under his rib cage. Doctor told him he needs to drink more water, but that doesn't seem to make any difference. Any thoughts or ideas?
So with multiple myeloma, that's pretty tough. My guess is that his bile duct is spasm. So the water is good, but you can also open up and massage the bile duct. I've had patients where we've had to do that. It's a temporary thing, but it gives some relief. And so when we massage up in between the ribs by the stomach and the bile duct, you just kind of massage it, traction down, and if it's inflamed, it'll be a little sensitive and tender. But when you open it up, it actually gives some relief. And that's the most common thing we see, but without assessing, it's hard to know for sure. But there are some things, milk thistle. Now, you have to make sure nothing gets in the way of any type of treatment, chemo, or anything like that. But milk thistle is an herbal that helps the bile duct move the bile along. And so any type of liver support that works with whatever medications are being given would be recommended to help offset that challenge.
All right. Back to the foods. This dear one says, apologize if I missed this, but is there olive oil that we can buy from the grocery store that's good? Like, in other words, how do you know if you're getting a good olive oil? I'd heard that if you put it in the fridge, I can't remember the rest of it, if it doesn't solidify, I shouldn't even say, but there's some kind of test like that where you can tell if it's good or not, but I'll just leave it to you. What do you say?
Well, for me, it's all about the polyphenol count. And so, so instead of buying the $120 6 ounce bottle from Greece, what they have at Costco is a good olive oil. So that's what I have in my house. I have also olive oils from around. I collect olive oils, so I've got them from international different areas. And you can look up the polyphenol counts on the olive oils and get some good ones. Costco actually has a good one. For the price, it's your best bang for your buck.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay, this dear one says, with about 8 different kinds of magnesium on the market, which one do you recommend and why? And again, layman insertion here. Like, one of the suggestions was magnesium L-threonate. I think I'm saying that right, for nighttime, but it kept me awake. But I take magnesium glycinate and I think chelate or something like
chelate,
that.
Yeah.
Chelate. Those worked for me. And again, it's never one size fits all, but maybe talk about the different kinds of magnesium and what they do.
Yeah, there's magnesium citrate, which again, some people, that'll help with bowel and muscle function. And then some people can't handle the citrate form of it, so they can't do that. There's magnesium glycinate, and that can help with muscles and bowels as well. And then you've got the magnesium threonate, which is a brain support. 10% of the people, it'll activate and energize the brain. 90% of the people, it'll relax the brain. So it's used to sleep for others, and it's used as an energy aid for the 10%ers like yourself. And then there's the oxides and the less absorbable magnesium, the magnesium salts, like Epsom salts is a magnesium salt. And that's just purely for just pulling water into the bowel to get the bowels moving. So I myself like a variety of magnesium. And so I will go between magnesium glycinate, threonate, and citrate for just what I take.
And what are signs when someone's deficient? Because you said it's your favorite mineral, and so often people are really deficient in it, and really most require probably more than they think. What are some signs that you might be magnesium deficient?
So muscle cramps is one, tight muscles, constipation, and sluggishness with brain, not managing stress response all that well. Those are all some signs of magnesium. I'm sure there's many, many more, because magnesium and calcium have to be brought into balance. And magnesium is actually needed for calcium and vice versa.
Very good. Okay, one last question. What's your sense when you're thinking about where healthcare is at right now, what God is doing in the world? I mean, what are you thinking about in that regard?
Well, that's just an easy question to finish off on. Hello.
Just a minute. You got a minute.
God is working amazingly right now. And I think we're seeing a restructuring of our healthcare, how we're going to take care of our health. I think we're starting to see a spiritual component come in that's going to play a role. And I think there's going to be less of a need for healthcare workers like myself and other people. Not gone. And trust me, we're all tired. COVID.
Yeah, you're overworked.
We're overworked. But we're going to see breakthroughs and miracles because of the changes. So when I say there's going to be changes, it's all good. There's going to be a shift that is more God-focused and that's more going to work with how our bodies were designed. I'm seeing that happening behind the scenes. And what is happening is absolutely amazing. And I'm starting to see... like what I do is functional medicine, and we're going to call the traditional health care. I'm seeing them start to work together and get results like I've never seen in 25 years.
And that is an answer to prayer for me, because we need traditional medicine. We need functional medicine. And for egos to go away and humility to rise up for the sake of the patient is the ultimate goal. And then you bring faith in there and say, let's each do our part to pursue healing and then ask God to do what only He can do. That's when you see an explosion of miracles. That is my prayer. I care so much about it. Doc, thank you for the role that you play. And thank you for the time today. I know you're going on very little sleep. Bless you for giving us your time today.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me, as always.
We love and appreciate you, and I hope you found some encouragement here. Every step towards health and healing matters. Have a blessed day, and we'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to Susie Larson Live. Podcasts like mine are available because of your support. If it's important to you to hear things that encourage your faith, click the link in the show notes and give now.